Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, October 12th. As we've been reporting on the regional newscast this week, the oil and gas development project on Bull Mountain has been given final approval by the Bureau of Land Management. Yesterday, KVNF News spoke with David Ludlam, Executive Director of the Colorado West Slope Oil and Gas Association. Today we have comments about the project from Natasha Leger, Interim Executive Director of Citizens for a Healthy Community. Here is that interview. What was your reaction when you heard that the BLM had approved the Bull Mountain project?
First reaction was disappointment, worry, and frankly, outrage, given the number of comments that the BLM has received on this and the consistent opposition of the North Fork Valley community to industrialize oil and gas development in the area and in the watershed. But unfortunately, given the current climate that we're in right now, not unexpected.
And you mentioned the comments. There were thousands of comments that were made to the BLM website over the years, and many of them were opposed. There were some in favor. Do you feel like the public was consulted during the process, and do you believe that their concerns were addressed?
The public was consulted through the public comment period. Unfortunately, I don't think those thousands of comments were sufficiently heard by the BLM. It seems like the thousands of comments were overshadowed by perhaps a handful of industry comments. And frankly, that's unfortunate because it shows that this is really an unlevel playing field. And there are a number of areas that the BLM did not address in this record of decision, but I'll just focus on one here right now, which is the issue of unregulated rural gas gathering pipelines. The BLM did not consider the increased risk associated with the fact that these rural gas gathering lines are not subject to federal pipeline safety regulations. And what that means is not only does the public not have visibility into any incremental failure along those pipelines, but neither does state regulatory agencies or federal agencies for that matter. So the BLM really turned a blind eye to this issue. And frankly, we don't need our public lands, our sites for grazing allotments and recreation to turn into potentially Superfund sites because of incremental failure that is not properly being regulated.
And do you think that the approval of this project will open the door for more oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley?
That, of course, is our greatest concern. The big travesty here is that the BLM moved forward with this decision before the revised RMP was completed. So we believe that that really prejudices the RMP process and really could open up the door to industrializing our watershed and the Upper North Fork Valley with oil and gas development that the community has been consistently opposed to.
President Trump repealed the Clean Power Plan on Tuesday. While Colorado has strict state regulations about methane emissions, the health of many people in the state will be threatened after the rollbacks. Eric Galatis filed this story.
On Tuesday, the Trump administration took steps to repeal the Clean Power Plan, the nation's first ever attempt to limit carbon pollution from existing power plants. EPA Chief Scott Pruitt claims the move will correct what he sees as an executive overreach of authority, but Paul Billings with the American Lung Association says rolling back protections will keep millions of Americans exposed to dangerous pollutants and derail the nation's efforts to slow climate change.
When EPA finalized the rule in 2015, they estimated the rule would prevent up to 3,600 premature deaths a year and 90,000 asthma attacks in children, in addition to addressing the leading cause of climate change.
Pruitt has downplayed health concerns and emphasized new calculations on the costs of complying with the plan. It aimed to reduce carbon pollution by 32% from 2005 levels by 2030. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper said in a statement that 95% of Coloradans want to see a transition to cleaner energy, which he says creates well-paid jobs that can't be automated or shipped overseas. Dr. Elena Rios with the National Hispanic Medical Association says the government's number one responsibility from a public health perspective is to help all people. She worries that rolling back pollution standards will disproportionately affect poor families and communities of color living in the shadows of coal-fired smokestacks.
Decreasing the carbon content in our air quality in major cities or in areas and neighborhoods that are around these power plants, there would be direct impact on the health of the community.
Billings notes Coloradans and people around the world are already experiencing the effects of climate change through more severe storms and wildfires and prolonged drought.
We're also experiencing unhealthy air pollution days, both ozone and particle pollution. These high air pollution days can lead to coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath in healthy adults, but can cause asthma attacks and, sadly, even premature death.
Tuesday's order will be open to public comment. Previously, over 8 million people sent comments in support of the plan, setting a federal record. Environmental groups and some states are expected to mount a legal challenge to keep the plan in place. In 2007, the U.S. Supreme Court told the EPA to regulate carbon as an air pollutant if emissions put public health at risk. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
From Aspen Public Radio, reporter Elizabeth Stewart Severy filed a report that portrays the anatomy of a mountain rescue mission. Here's the final report in her story.
The number of incidents are rising, and rescuers are seeing some patterns. There are simple things that hikers and climbers can do to avoid dangerous situations. First, Sheriff DeSalvo says,
"These are not hikes. These are technical climbs."
DeSalvo and rescue leaders say it's critical that people in the backcountry stick to only those challenges that are within their knowledge, skill, and ability levels.
Half the rescues and recoveries that we do are just stuff happens. People slip, a rock moves, people fall and have problems. The other half are people who get out there and are exceeding that knowledge, skill, ability level.
Rescue leaders are also trying to get word out about basic backcountry awareness.
When you travel alone, which so many people do, you have to be prepared for the worst.
Stay together.
Stay on route. If that gully that you're looking down that looks so good was the better, safer, faster, more efficient way, it'd be the standard route. But it's not for a reason. You can't see that cliff at the bottom. Do not rely on your cell phone.
Joe Seeds remembers the spot where he lost the route, and he knows what he's taking away from the experience.
If I had to do it over again, I would have waited for the person behind me, and then both of us could have looked at it and, you know, two sets of eyes and two sets of minds going, being like, that's not the right way.
He says he'll be back to try again. Elizabeth Stewart Severy, Aspen Public Radio Environment Desk.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.